If we could take a few minutes and take a campus tour and walk from building to building, one of the things that you'd notice in each building on the campus is a picture of our altar crucifix with the mission statement of the college printed on it. And I'd like you today, as you walk by one of those signs, to take a moment again and read what it is that you're here for and I'm here for. I'd like to direct your attention now to a sign in this room. If you'd look at the altar painting, the center panel, and there on the cross at the top, you see a sign. And Pontius Pilate, unwittingly, by posting that sign, gave a focus to all educational thought and all educational processes that would come from that moment on. For there in that sign, Athens meets Jerusalem. And there in that sign, the power and the majesty of Rome come to focus in the weakness of the kingdom established by Christ on the throne of the cross. This superscription, Jesus, King of the Jews, is for us in this place a defining focus for what we do. Every subject we discuss, every breath we take, every lunch we eat, has at its center that superscription. One of our favorite hymns here at Bethany, hymn number 593, celebrates that mission statement which Pilate posted on the cross for all the world to see. And as we sing it and as we memorize this little prayer, it is a focusing event in our lives as well, realizing that all of our thoughts, our pursuit of wisdom and beauty and truth and purpose in life, purpose in government, purpose in who we are as a nation and as a family, comes to focus in that one who is our King of Grace. We join in singing the hymn. In 1927, Bethany Lutheran College became a coeducational junior college and also a residential high school. The first long-term president of that institution, his name was Dr. S.C. Ilvesacker. His last name starts with a Y, but it sounds like an I. And if Dr. Brown were up here, she'd say, "Can we all say Ilvesacker?" Ilvesacker. Very fine. There is no Y in it. Dr. Ilvesacker was famous as a linguist and grammarian. He also loved the fine arts, which is why when the fine arts building was built a number of years ago, it was dedicated to his memory and named in his honor. While he was president, he really felt that the school was lacking, well, the school was lacking a lot of things in those days. The lights went out because they turned the power off early in the evening. Sometimes the food in the cafeteria really was not very good. And I mean really was not very good if we read back and hear what happened at Bethany in those days. In fact, a big part of the Bethany education during the days when Dr. Ilvesacker was in charge was about learning how to do without. And amazingly, they did very well and managed to produce a lot of educated people, even though they might have been hungry some of the time. But what he thought was lacking was a school song to rally the forces. And so he sponsored a competition in the Bethany Scroll to have a school song poem written. No one responded, so he commissioned one of the English professors to do it. She wrote this text, and then he wrote the tune. And we continue to sing it today. So I'd ask you now to join and stand, and we'll sing both verses and the little coda at the end. Of course, 1927 wasn't really the beginning of the Bethany story. The first class of students came to Bethany Lutheran College in the year 1911, and they were all girls, young Lutheran women, who were coming to share in this experiment of learning among the Lutheran in the world of Lutheran higher education at a place called Bethany Ladies Seminary, or Bethany Ladies College. A finishing school for young Lutheran women where they could come and learn some of the useful home economics, enough Bible to be a good mother and a good Sunday school teacher, and other subjects as well, music and science and literature. And that was really, if you think back to the Anne of Green Gables kind of world, that idea of an Edwardian finishing school for women was a great idea. The hope was that someday Bethany Lutheran College for Women would have maybe as many as 2,000 students, Lutheran women from all across the country, that would come here for that unique emphasis that Bethany had. Well, that idea never really went very far because there was a world war, and after the world war, especially this notion, it was a different world. And consequently, Bethany, as a women's college, did not survive and was purchased then in 1927 to be the college junior college and high school. Now, one of the things, of course, that we retain from that college that started in 1911 is our name. And if you turn to hymn number 182, at the end of that hymn, you have the citation from the Gospel of Luke telling which, if it isn't a familiar story to you now, it will be by the time you leave here, that wonderful story of Christ in the home of Mary and Martha, which we see here in our altar painting when it's shut, and also in the stained glass window, which is sort of at the heart of the old main. When I first came here as a teacher, we all saw that every day. We walked by it many, many, many times. It was in the center of everything. Today you kind of have to look for it, but it's worth the trip. It was very appropriate for a school dedicated to the education of Christian women, but it's appropriate as well for us too. For when we see the two personalities there and the two vocations that they were exercising, Mary, first of all, sitting and listening, realizing that that worshipful attitude at the feet of Christ is the center of what we do here, as well as Martha's service. Now, Martha was worried and troubled about a lot of things that seemed necessary to her, but in the big picture, of course, weren't really necessary. And we could say that about ourselves, too, aren't we? We're really worried about those things that seem necessary, like getting a job and paying the bills and raising a family. And we all know in our heart of hearts that those things are not the most important thing, but we also know that they are needful. And so we, along with Mary and Martha, try to cultivate those two vocations which we all have. That vocation of sitting faithfully at Christ's feet, and also that vocation of providing for those around us, the things that we need for this life, which God, of course, blesses us with. Hymn number 182 is a reflection on this text and on these vocations, and I would like us to, let's sing verse 1 and verse 3 for starters.